Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I got to bring this up, and ladies, I really do feel for you. It's been a long time since I've been single, and I know it's a pain in the ass for any single person, especially if you're just tired of being single. You want to meet the right person.
It's been 15 years for me.
And then you hear what I'm about to play for you, which is a level of douchebaggery that is... That is so off the charts. It's pathetic. Let me preface this from. We got this online. Somebody sent this to us,
it seems to you. Need to realize this seems to be the real deal. This seems.
Oh,
to
it
be,
sounds 100%
this seems
legit.
To be the real deal off of an answering machine.
Apparently, this guy saw an attractive girl, went over to her, made chit chat. I don't know where it was. I think it may have been like at a cafe or something like that. Went over to her quickly, started to talk, and I guess coerced her phone number out of her.
It seems sort of the case was is that she was looking to maybe get rid of him, so gave him the information.
He got her card.
Okay.
He got her card.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So he got her business card,
yeah.
Which I guess is a quick way to just dismiss someone here, take my card,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. So on and so forth.
Call me at work.
And proceeded to leave her a couple of messages. And it's just the pomposity is pretty ridiculous.
It even starts with the name. The guy's name is Dimitri.
Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Do you want to?
And women are going to break out into a cold sweat all over Philadelphia.
Yeah. Because all right. Here, just listen. Here we go.
Yeah. Hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri. Sorry, I had to leave such a rushed message with you when we met the other day. I just want to quickly give you my phone number, and I had to get the heck out of the area. In any event, I figure I better leave you a more detailed message and explain why I approached you. I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day.
Oh, my God.
But I'm very particular about what I like. You're extremely elegant. I couldn't take my eyes off of you, and your friends were very jealous. Even if they say they weren't, they were envious of the fact that I approached you, and I was very taken by you. Mm-hmm. Elegant women are very rare. I'm Greek, and I'm very particular about what I like. So I'm giving you an opportunity here. I don't know if you pick up the messages on the weekend, but I'm working on a movie script, so I'm pretty much around all weekend doing that. I left you my number, 416-918.
And maybe fade out the number.
Looks like a landline, and if it is, you may not get the message till Monday. But when you do, call me, and then we'll get together for coffee and chat and let the romance begin.
Oh my God.
You look very taken aback by my approach. And I
pause for a second. At this point in time, there are already 30 missteps in his communication.
At this point in time, I've already invited everyone I know over to listen to this message.
And I like how he's presenting it as if he's looking to merge with another company. You know, here's an opportunity for you to get with me. It's just horrible.
God.
But it gets way worse.
Your friends are obviously jealous.
Yeah, they saw me.
Because I approached you.
Even if they say they're not.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Timidness. I hope it was just a little bit of shock at being approached. So
wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Hold on. Let me.
Wait. And at what? How much time has he spent now? Because this is a voicemail, not a hey, call me back.
No. Yeah. But he's explaining. In fact, in the beginning, you hear he apologizes for the brevity of his first voicemail.
Right.
He felt it didn't convey just what an opportunity this girl had at her fingertips.
So she's probably not calling him back, and he continues to call.
Well,
her.
Well, no. He leaves the message. He calls the work number, and he realizes he's called on the weekend. He says, "You probably aren't going to get this until Monday."
But wait till you hear the next one.
Right,
you look very taken aback by my approach, and I hope that isn't timidness. I hope it was just a little bit of shock at being approached so directly, because I don't really date timid women, because I'm a very direct, very passionate, very assertive man, and I want a woman who's very independent and strong. So anyway, we'll talk about that, but I just wanted to formally introduce myself.
Write that, then you're a day planner, and we'll talk about that at the later point. He sounds like Mr. Tudball.
I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga?
Oh, my God.
As soon as you are ready to embrace the all-encompassing manliness that is my essence, then dial my digits and let's get to the banging.
It's in your court.
Okay. He says the ball is in your court, which means I will not call you, right? I'll just wait for you to call me.
By the way, that is a basketball reference, in case you're unfamiliar with that particular sport.
All right, so you're right. You're right, Casey. The ball is now in your court. That means it's your turn.
It's your turn.
You will call me. But he calls her again.
And this time, he cannot understand this presentation. This woman has been given the opportunity to engage in a relationship with Dimitri, and more time than he is accustomed to has lapsed, and he cannot understand it.
Well, quickly, before we go to that, I have Brad, who is Greek. And needs to step forward here for a moment.
Does he leave these messages?
No. Brad, are you there?
Oh, my God.
What's up, Brad?
That takes all of our Greeks just about 1,000 steps back.
You guys are Malacca, is he not, Brad?
Oh, my God. Total scatula.
But, Brad, you want to apologize on behalf of the Greeks for this?
You know what? I don't even know what to say. Press, I was the guy who emailed you last Friday about the single mixer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So I appreciate that. I apologize to Marissa. I thought she was Greek, but apparently she's not.
No, she could still be a Greek goddess.
She could be, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to punch Angelo in the head next time I see him.
All right, Brad, good to talk to you, man.
All right, see you later.
Dimitri.
All right, well, let's roll this second portion.
Time has lapsed by Dimitri's reckoning, an inordinate amount of time.
Yeah, here we go.
Hi there, old guy. It's Dimitri calling again, the guy from the street. I left you a message several days ago. You said you were interested. Now, here's the way I work. I don't like leaving second messages, but I like you. You're a very elegant woman. You're very attractive. But, you know, I don't play that game. I know your friends tell you not to return calls. You're playing games like you see on stupid TV shows. So here's how it's going to work. It is now 4:30 on Wednesday. Now, I'll assume that you've already left work. Because, you know, some people leave early.
Oh, my God.
Pause it. I assume that you've left work at 4:30 because the classic structure of the day is a 9 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm. So oh, my God. I want to kill him.
All right, here we go.
And I'll grant you that.
I'll grant you that.
Wait, but any song, this is how it's going to work.
Yeah. All right.
But if I do not receive a phone call back from you by 3:00 Thursday afternoon, I'm no longer interested, and you can erase my number.
Oh, my God.
I don't play games like that. I'm completely single.
Pause for a second. That is the most telling statement. I am completely single.
Right.
Would you care to guess why?
Yeah.
But I love how, like, now he gives himself an out. Like, if she doesn't call him back by 3, well, then we're not going to go out, not because you didn't call me back in time, but because I don't play games.
Yeah, her loss.
Meanwhile, everyone,
I will no longer leave entertaining messages for you to play to your coworkers.
Steve, exactly. Yeah. You know everyone that she works with, and all of her friends are sitting around her desk with this on speakerphone, listening to these messages.
For the second one, Kathy, they've got some microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I don't play games like that. I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not.
Wow. Okay. Great in bed. I have inordinately large, painful genitals that I can split the log with my unit.
Oh, what an idiot.
My manly essence tastes very much like a cream soda.
Wait, before we continue on, hold on. Jim's got a comment. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Jim?
Just listen to this guy. Oh, my God. He's got the prowess of Pepe Le Pew.
He has the same rap that Pepe Le Pew has.
Yeah,
like a bundle of sweetness. It is love at sight first. No, is it not? No, yes. Oh, the mad rush of hot blood to the temples.
Now, like...
He's right.
You don't.
He's totally right.
I don't know. Like you, Steve, I've been out of the game for a really long time, but you don't like offer up that you're good in bed to somebody else because that's really that's an opinion that you can't really
give, right? Maybe 1 in 1 million times will that work, and usually the person it works with has a mouthful of herpes sores,
right?
So that I mean, what that, yeah, it's like you never go to a restaurant with a flashing sign that says great food.
Right. Here's an SMS that says, I'm a wealthy businessman, and I don't have time to call women. That's why I have my intern call women for me.
I work for a wealthy businessman.
All right, here we go.
I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch.
Oh!
I've only been single 4 months. I had a long-distance relationship, you know, went a year.
Her preference, by the way.
Yeah. This gets better, though. Listen.
Painted like that, and it didn't work out. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
Oh, my God.
So I'm giving you that 3 o'clock deadline. If I don't hear from you, you lose my number. I'm erasing yours right now, so you won't be hearing back from me. So that's it. 3 o'clock tomorrow, or you can just completely forget it. Now, I understand if you've got other issues. Like me.
Wait. This is the money shot.
Oh, no. All right, go ahead. I can't get over the deadline.
Listen to the issues, though.
Other issues. Like maybe you're not playing games. Maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood. Maybe your mother has cancer. You're going to chemo. Maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder. Maybe you're on some medication for that. I don't know. There could be another issue that I'm not aware of.
The reason you didn't call is because your mother has cancer.
Yeah. Or because you're on medication
because
that he doesn't know about.
Certainly, a family member dying or perhaps that you were abused as a child would be the only reason you would not call back, Dimitri.
Ah, golden girl, you are the corned beef to me.
It has nothing to do with this guy is a complete douchebag.
Well, that couldn't be the case.
And it's ridiculous. Not. He is, I am the only catch in the city. I am the only man where there is nothing wrong.
Steve, would the word narcissistic be in play here?
The word was invented for me, for Dimitri.
That's right. It was invented for me.
Yeah.
But nobody says, call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls. It's extremely passive aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive-aggressive personality disorder.
Oh!
See, but now at this point,
he's diagnosing her.
Well, at this point, he talked further in his spiel here, he realizes that he no longer wants to leave the opening. He figures if he uses reverse psychology and comes at her this way and is angry about it, and now he exposes all his cards, that she might go, you know, what am I doing? I'm throwing away a chance to be with Dimitri. Of course I'll call him.
But nobody tough says, love. Call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls. It's extremely passive-aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive-aggressive personality.
Look that up in your funkin' Wagnall.
You're too stupid to know what that is what he said.
And you let me know if you've got issues, psychological issues, if you're on any sort of medication for anxiety or depression, I'm not interested.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I am cringing.
I am a practicing Scientologist.
Oh, God.
But if you're psychologically normal and you haven't called me because there's been some horrible thing that's happened in your life which prevented you, that's fine.
Could be the only reason.
But that's otherwise, fine. Don't call me. Okay? Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
What an idiot.
Like, I can't even believe that there are men like that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, have you ever encountered, but you've encountered guys in that ballpark, haven't you?
Sure. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Actually, one that we all know where he would call me all the time. And
David Copperfield?
Well, similar. No, and I happened to not return his phone call, so well, where were you? What
David
were you doing?
David Copperfield, your friend from Las Vegas. Got a very interesting opportunity for you.
And I said,
by the way, anytime a guy, you know, approaches you for a date or a relationship, the same way he would approach selling real estate,
right,
that I have a great opportunity for you.
Right.
25 acres in the Poconos just became available.
Hang on. Let me go to Samantha real quick here. Samantha.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey.
I have the courage to call him back.
Yeah. Now, dude.
I went out with a guy just like Dimitri.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It was awful. I was set up by friends because I was a newly single mother for a year. And I went out and I met this guy. And he told me that he was the best thing that I would ever meet. Okay? And that I didn't deserve better because I had a kid already.
Yeah.
Mm. And that
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Wait, Samantha, on the first date?
On the first date, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, what's your idea of a good second date? And he's like, going to Disney World with your son. And I was like, okay.
Well, so, I mean, I assume it was just one date, right?
It was just one date. I didn't call him back. He called me several times, like Dimitri, that I was the best thing for him.
Yeah.
So he accidentally answered my phone, and he was on the other end, and he was screaming at me, like, I was the biggest idiot in the world for not calling him back.
Yeah.
It didn't even like he had a good job.
He worked at Fridays.
By the way, Kathy, write down the name of the guy we all know.
Yeah.
Well, no. I didn't get to finish. So, okay, you know, he couldn't believe that I did not return his phone call. And I said, well, you know, I said, sorry, I was in the shower. And that turned into, oh, because then this person went to someone else and said, oh, yeah, well, she was telling me how she was showering. I guess she wanted me to get in with her.
I need to see.
You
got my interest up on this one.
But I think he said it to you.
How recently was this?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Are you kidding?
No. Yeah, no. He said it to me.
Okay.
He said, he goes, man, every time I call her, like, she always mentions how she's in the shower or something like that.
Wow.
Like,
I think
she wants me to get in with
that.
Oh,
hang on.
Jesus Christ.
Let me go.
Oh, man.
You spelled it wrong, I think.
That's a basis for a science fiction movie.
Let me go to Vicky. Hi, Vicky. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Gadzooks.
What's up, Vicky?
I have a very similar situation to the last person. I set up with someone. You know, he's very rich. He owns lots of property. He makes sure that I knew that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And our first date, actually, he introduced me to the people at the restaurant as his wife.
What? Oh!
So, like, I totally should have known then it was going to be a horrible idea. But it was fun, so I... and when I didn't want to go to the next, you know, the next level and be, like, serious or anything of that sort...
Yeah.
He would sit there and remind me that he can get anybody and that I was so lucky that he was taking me out on dates.
Did this guy go by the nickname The Juice?
Occasionally, no, not that I know. But he would actually sit there and say that all he needs to do is put his Porsche keys down on the table.
Oh,
and he got
it. My God.
I was supposed to be convinced to date him.
Oh, my God.
He had Porsche keys. He was driving a Pacer, but he had the Porsche keys.
Instead of a pair of keys.
My friend, he was driving a Porsche. That guy that I was talking about.
The guy you were talking about?
The Greek dude?
Yeah, but I think because he really likes performance vehicles, it wasn't because
to compensate for a micro penis.
No, I don't want to say that because he's my friend.
Okay. I'm going to go to Jen. Hey, Jen, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jen?
I was set up with a guy I work with from another mutual friend of a guy that I work with, and I decided that I didn't want to date him anymore. I just got out of a long-term relationship. He left me a work voicemail. Complaining about how I broke up with him and how horrible I was and how mean, and I should read this book, and it's about a girl and she breaks up with this guy and breaks his heart, and so I played it for everybody I work with.
Did you save it by any chance?
Did you save the call?
I did for a while. Eventually, you know, I left the job anyway, but he made me pay for the, I mean, he'd take me to Burger King and then
make it pay for it.
I know royalty.
What a catch.
Yes, I'm going to take you to a wonderful establishment.
Oh, my God.
Have everything. In fact, whatever you order, you can have it your way.
The pomposity, man. Hang on.
I love that. I want to hang out with this guy just to
see. I would love to see a picture of him. I have a classic image in mind. I'm imagining a few buttons undone, a little tassel of hair coming up over the shirt.
A little?
European, you know, the glasses, slick back hair, perhaps a ponytail.
I was thinking ponytail. Yeah.
Hang on. Let me go to Heath. Hey, Heath, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Heath?
Women create guys like
this. Okay. They create guys like this, all right?
Because, first of all, she gave him his business card, and there's no way he didn't act like this when she first met him.
Well, here's the deal. You make a good point. She did give him her business card, but the initial encounter was supposedly incredibly brief. He even says how brief it was. So maybe in that very short span of time, he appeared to be human.
I find that ridiculously hard to believe based on phone calls.
Yeah.
But also, he wouldn't be doing this if it didn't work. If there weren't women out there that actually fell for this crap.
Oh, you know that there were. Of course. If you do it enough,
there was a comedian friend of mine who would say, he would just if you just walked through the city and went up to people and said, I think you're hot. Do you want to F? That you're going to get a taker eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the law of percentages. Yeah. And, yeah. And you know, yes, maybe he does get women like this, but obviously he is single now, so it, apparently it does not work.
I've been
work.
Single for a short
four
time,
month, 4 months. Months
because and he was a- you're elegant, and I like elegant women.
I got to go back to the part where he starts listing her problems. Hang on, I don't remember exactly.
Perhaps
what it was.
You're tied up. Your mouth is taped shut. You're watching Shawshank.
Mother has cancer. You're going to chemo. Maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder. Maybe you're on some medication for that. I don't know. There could be another issue.
Perhaps
that
you're
I'm not
afraid
aware.
That I possess a European uncircumcised penis. Right.
But nobody says, call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls.
Listen.
It's extremely passive-aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive-aggressive personality disorder.
Can you say passive-aggressive? Say it with me. Passive-aggressive. There you go. You're learning.
Oh, God.
Soon you will not be an imbecile.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay where you are.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I've been beating the hell out of my wife pretty regularly.
Hey, quickly, I know I saw this news story that I was going to bring up, but before I do that, because there was a quick bit of conversation while we were in the break, is that...
You often break out the Bible.
And occasionally I'll get emails from skeptics of Kathy Romano that... that feel that she's it can be a little bit prissy and, mm-hmm. and you know just kind of on the
tight ass
on the prudish yeah. side, but Nick was just telling me about a couple of text messages that he got from Kathy over the weekend. She and I've gotten them before too.
Uh-huh.
Can be the most filthy person that you've ever met. In your
well,
life.
Well, here's the thing. Let me explain it. This, I don't know how it started, but Nick and I will try to outdo each other with grossness. And I've, you know, gotten some emails like from you, Preston, you said something to me, and I just try to gross you out and kind of just shock you a little bit, which seems to work.
Well, you definitely shocked me because it was one of those things where
we can't even
I can't.
To oh. what she here's, was sending.
Here's how it started. When I left on Friday,
I think I could paraphrase it.
Well, think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Let me just preface this by, you know, when we left on Friday, there was some really bad traffic on the Schuylkill. We're heading westbound, and I sent Kathy a text and said, listen, stay off of 76, take 23 instead. She writes back. She's like, damn it, you know, I already got on the Schuylkill, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, and then we joked around a little bit, and she's like, all right, I already miss you. And I wrote back to her, and I was like, I miss your tongue on me in a particular right. area. And then she writes back, if you want to give it a shot, Steve.
She misses the day-old remnants of Marissa on...
No, not Marissa, his wife.
Oh, his wife, Melissa.
Melissa on your reproductive areas.
Right. Okay. And yes. I saw that, and I'm like, how do I respond to this? And so I tried, but at that point, Kathy had already, you know, she'd won. You know, there yeah. was no way that I could outdo her, although and I did try.
You did try. And meanwhile, I'm driving. We're both sitting in this horrible traffic on 76, and I'm hysterical laughing, and people are just looking at me.
I'll tell you what I did do at one point, though, was I included the words moist and discharge.
Yeah.
Which are two words she can't stand.
Yeah.
Now, in these sort of battles, I do very well. I just don't text message a lot,
yeah.
you know, because it's just not it's not my thing.
But, oh, yes, Steve, right. you would be excellent.
What it is it's the equivalent of the joke the movie was based on the Aristocrats.
Yeah, the Aristocrats, yeah.
And that
right.
is you up the ante on that.
Right.
And I've done that with my you know guy friends fairly often where you just try to keep raising
yeah.
the bar. All bets are off. All family members are active, living or dead. All animals are up for grabs.
Uh-huh.
It's what you do. And it's just part of the deal. But it's just rare that you find a woman. My wife
who's good at it.
My wife will engage in this with me, which is, and when she says stuff like that, I love it. It's hilarious.
Because it's funny coming out of, you know, your wife who's like 90 pounds. She's the sweetest thing in the world. And then
that's why I married her.
I'm going to give you one that Casey, because Casey's really good at it as well. Casey's really good at comebacks, period. But this is one that he told that he told me to send to Kathy. And again, I'll paraphrase. I'm going to rep my D in sandpaper and F your ears. And I thought that one was pretty good.
You said that?
Yeah. That was a good one.
Because that was another event you guys were at together.
It's nice and abrasive. And sandpaper.
Nick and I were trying to do each other again.
The first time that I got one from Kathy, it was like that. I don't know, we were texting back and forth, and I just said something like, you know what, I said, why don't you S my D or something and then she fired back, and it was,
why don't you
like,
L my X?
No, she goes she said something like, no, I've got a better idea. How about I rip you off your blank and shove it up your so-and-so? And I was just like, whoa!
Wow.
I was just, you know, I wasn't planning on going there, but it was so damn
well,
funny.
You know what, and
why don't you cue my G?
Well, people ask me sometimes, you know, like people that have gotten to know me and I'm able to do this, you know, with them. They're like, how? I don't understand. I'm like, well, I am the only female, I mean, besides my mother, that, you know, I grew up with brothers. I grew up with all boys, cousins, everybody. Everybody.
It makes a difference when you have guys in the family.
But now I work with all guys, you know. Like,
well, but you still reserve the right to get horrified at things I say, which is amazing. Yeah. I can't believe you said that, and yet you're doing that. So there's a dichotomy there.
Yeah,
but my sister is well, not the same way, but, you know, she was the only girl and basically an all-boy family, but she always kept herself removed, you know, so that when there were, like, family parties and stuff like that, she wasn't hanging with the boys doing boy things. She was trying to be an adult sitting at the table listening to all the adult conversations. So.
I think of my poor mother in my house. With my dad just had, I mean, my dad... All bets were off. I mean, stuff. I told you, we were the first family to get the VCR in the neighborhood. The first two movies we rented were Jaws and Deep Throat. And
that's a porn, right?
That's a porn. Yes. It's a classic porn. It's rare that you can find the woman that rolls with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I saved some of the ones that Kathy sends me because they're so good.
Here's one. Marissa and I did an appearance. We took listeners to, where did we?
Excitement Video.
Yes. Yeah. And what did you ask?
I just asked, how's it going?
But you asked something. No, you didn't. Because it says we are up to 12, but I don't know what.
Asked how many orgasms you'd had that night.
I said we're up to 12. Here, Steve, you do it. I don't know what I can say.
To paraphrase.
Well, I don't know if I can do that.
Let's just say it's going swimmingly well.
Okay. Casey, take a look at
it. It has to do with certain beads.
Oh, crud.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on. What were you saying, Kathy?
It has to do with a certain type of beads that Marissa was using.
Okay, yeah. She has A beads in her donkey and is... Oh, God. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to...
Tuna Town?
Yeah.
On a blacklist now, right?
On a blacklist.
Oh, my God.
See? That's why I save them.
You kill me.
You got to get an iPhone too.
Yeah, but that's true.
The print looks so much better.
Yeah,
so, and
you save the whole conversations, right? Save on the iPhone.
The whole thread. You don't have to worry about saving. It just saves it right in one continuing thread.
Really? Oh, I love it. So anyway, I wasn't even planning on talking about that, but when I heard what you sent over to Nick, and by the way, Nick's like you. There's something wrong with you. And I've been there.
And if you think Kathy's a priss, you should check her out at Krav Maga today because she's an ass kicker.
She is an ass
Thank
kicker.
Thank you.
Hey, quickly, I know we still got a bunch of stuff to do and we're already
What the hell are you
let's
doing
go to commercial. There? We'll come back with awesomeness.
Do you want to take a break?
Yeah,
no,
we're kind of
I want to keep going.
Yeah, let's just go.
No, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll be back in a minute.
For 50 plus years, MMR has owned the Stones. And now you can own the Stones with a free pair of tickets. Listen to Win Your Way In to see the Rolling Stones July 23rd in Philadelphia. Tune in at 8 a.m. when Preston and Steve reveal the winning Stone song of the day and the hour it will play. Listen for MMR to play it from a vinyl copy of Honk, their new greatest hits album. 25th caller picks up the record and two tickets to see the Rolling Stones. When we spin, you win. Only from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
My friends, if you follow politics, you most likely know this gentleman very well and is going to be doing his show.
Sweet. This is awesome.
Right here in Philadelphia at Penn. Please welcome from the Colbert Report, the one and only Stephen Colbert. Yeah!
Steve, thank you so much.
Our pleasure. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm in the middle of a traffic jam on the Ben Franklin Bridge right now. They're right. It's jammed up here right now.
Yeah. It's a wonderful place to be and hardly frustrating at all.
Yeah.
No, but it's great to be in Philly. You know, I never really spent much time here before.
So you're going to be here for the whole week doing your show?
On Thursday, every night.
We're hearing some names bandied about, like Chris Matthews as a guest. Who are you helping to bring to town? Because we hardly ever get celebrities in town.
I'm helping you bring Stephen Colbert to town most of the time. and I got to tell you, he's a huge get for me.
Oh, I'm going to imagine.
He doesn't always show up to play. No, Chris Matthews is on tonight. We're going to see who's got the harder ball. We hope the candidates are going to stop by later this week. We have your Mayor Nutter on tonight also. We've got Ed Rendell on Wednesday night. We've got a couple of guests that we can't announce yet, but we'll be announcing later today. I wish I could give Preston and Steve the exclusive on this one, but my team, who is in the room with me right now, are holding up cease and desist orders.
Well, you have to deal with that. We had Hillary Clinton on last week, and we were talking to her about during this whole process, the biggest difficulty for these candidates always seems to be getting that human element out and projecting themselves as just real people. And
was Hillary Clinton able to project herself as a human being?
She actually yeah. came across, she was really cool, and I think it benefited her to do that. Why do you think it's so difficult for them to do that?
Because they have to say the same things over and over again so many times. It's like saying the word banana.
Yeah.
After a while, it has no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually saying things, in all seriousness, they're saying things that I think they deeply believe, but after they say it so many times, the words don't mean anything to them anymore, and so they sound like robots.
Right.
But
Hillary Clinton actually might be a robot.
No,
I think you could chop her head off, and she'd still come at you.
She'd still come at you.
Well, robots seem to get elected, and I mean, it's just one of those things where you know you sort of had a human side of Mike Huckabee, and John Stewart's shown a human side of John McCain. Have you been able to develop actual friendships with candidates like that, or is it just guys that come on that are just talking themselves?
Huckabee and I hang out now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We go to cockfights together.
Wow. So what is
that's actually what he does now. He's a cockfight referee.
He's a cockfight referee?
That was his fallback position.
Wow.
So what is Chuck Norris driving or what?
Chuck Norris is in the cock suit.
Wow, that should be on video.
Stephen, I'd read that you have a number of staffers. Is it true you have 80 staff members with you?
Yes, sir. We actually have 91 people on the show. 80 of them are down here.
Oh my God! That is a massive amount of people for a show.
It's like we're all going to camp together.
Yeah,
Camp Philly.
Yeah, and what age range?
They give you a little camper outfit and a Kevlar vest.
Wow. Do you have a lot of students that are well? I guess probably not as full time staff members, but are they? Is the younger end well represented?
They're a bunch of UPenn kids scurrying around with name tags and a sense of self importance.
Yeah, I saw The Daily Show back when the Democratic National Convention was here.
Republican.
Right. I'm sorry. John Stewart was here doing his show for a week at the Annenberg Center.
I was here with him for that show.
I know. It was because you were doing your on-field reporting from inside the same studio, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
That was in the small theater, and that was exciting. I can't imagine what the 900-seater is going to be like.
I know that it was mostly a joke, but did you learn anything at all from your bid to be president of the United States?
You know, the funny thing you should say is that it was mostly a joke because people kept asking me, even people who worked for me would say, even people are confused. Is this real? Are you really running or is this a joke? And I would say, if I wasn't really running, it wouldn't be a joke.
True, yeah. To sell the joke, you have to be committed to it.
Right.
And as
I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I have tremendous respect
for these people who have to work the line and press the flesh and get their message out. Because, as I said to Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, not with Mike Wallace, Morley Safer asked me, do you think I'd ever take myself too seriously? And I said, well, to do this character really right, I think someday I'm going to have to believe my own line of crap.
Right.
And just for those, 13 days, I think I only ran for president, for 13 days, I kind of had to believe my own line of crap, because you had to go out and convince people that they should listen to you, and I had to have a reason why I was running for president. It was extremely educational, and I'm glad it's over.
Well, yeah, as you were in the thick of it, they were invoking the name Pat Paulson, who a lot of people credit with helping to destroy, I guess, McGovern's bid for the presidency. Did you start to at that point think, oh my God, if this does go, I could affect voting in the country?
I don't think so. Pat Paulson was running in the general election, and didn't have to deal with FEC rules, because they didn't exist that year he did that. There was no FEC restrictions. I actually, my biggest concern was, am I going to jail? I think about that. I say that in the mirror every morning.
Am I going to jail?
Am I going to jail? Because we had teams of lawyers communicating with the FEC lawyers, and then as we would do something on the campaign, we would say, have we broken the law? And they'd say, well, we're not sure, but please stop doing that. And then we wouldn't, until they said, no, that is against the law. Then we would dial it back.
Hey, during the writer's strike, when you had the whole sort of pseudo-feud going on between you and Jon Stewart and Conan O'Brien...
Pseudo-feud? I am insulted.
Real hard-hitting feud between you three guys. Was that mostly just to kill time because you didn't have writers on the show?
Everything was to kill time. Everything's to kill time now that I have writers on the show. Why do you think I'm in Philly? Well,
it's just a cheap, shameless ploy there. But exactly. it does work. And you talk about the zeal of, or at least buying your own crap. It's a joke that is done every night. When you do that pompous run over to the guest table, it just cracks me up. Do you actually have to think about different ways that you're going to do that? Is it a choreographed thing, or are you riffing, or is that go ahead.
We have about 10 basic ways we do it. We have 10 variations on what we do. But then if we have a special guest, if it's Tony Hawk, I might skateboard over.
Okay.
Or for Ed Rendell, maybe we'll have the Eagles cheerleaders carry me over.
Oh, that's nice.
Or we just might have the Eagles cheerleaders in just so they can, carry me around the studio.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Stephen, obviously, the Colbert Report is your baby, but are you sometimes surprised at that you ended up where you are and the success of the show?
I am constantly surprised that I'm gainfully employed.
Right.
Like, I think like every performer, they think at any minute I'm going to be fired.
Right.
This is going to be over at any minute.
I was reading about you. Your initial, you weren't particularly enamored of comedy at the offset.
Oh,
right?
I always loved comedy, but I always imagined that I was going to be a straight actor.
Oh, okay, all right. And then when did the shift occur?
When people started paying me to do comedy.
And you're an author.
I'm not being facetious. Yeah. The comedians were way more fun to hang out with. And B, if you messed up on stage doing drama or straight theater, you go backstage to be really quiet. Nobody would be talking to you. If you messed up on stage doing comedy, you could hear them mocking you while you were still on stage.
Right. It's got to be terrifying.
Right.
And I thought, that's way healthier. And then I realized I was getting a bigger paycheck every time I did a comedy gig. And I went, you know what? All these things add up into that direction.
Right.
I don't know if with everything, obviously, the juggernaut that is the Colbert Report going on, is there any possibility that there'll be some more Strangers with Candy stuff or no?
That's not up to me.
Okay.
That's up to me. That's up to young Miss Amy Sedaris. I would love to do something else with her.
What about another book? Because for Christmas, I've actually given you money, Mr. Colbert. I bought I Am America.
We've just stopped bleeding out of our orifices.
Okay.
From having done a television show four nights a week and written a book. So we're going to hold off until the wound is completely staunched before we even think about that. But thank you. I appreciate your support.
All right.
Understood.
You.
While you're in town, you're going to get some free time to, kind of look around the city a little bit?
Already have. I've went and I've been to your Independence Hall, the Constitution Center.
Cool.
I've run through green fields with the Philly Fanatic. I asked if I could lick the crack of the Liberty Bell.
They kind of frowned
on
that.
They wouldn't let me.
Yeah, they
wouldn't let me do it.
No, that's too
bad. Do you think you'll get any art hung up in the Museum of Art? Because I've seen a painting of you in the Smithsonian.
That's right.
That's a world-class institution. We have one here in Philadelphia as well.
We don't have my painting right here. It's in the Hall of National Treasures right now. In all seriousness, I'm a national treasure guy.
That's beautiful. That's
well, we always knew that.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
people, please keep Nicolas Cage away from me.
All right. Well, Stephen, we're going to let you go. Stephen Colbert. Colbert Report, of course. And in town all this week. And yeah, the guests should be pretty cool. See them on there.
I would imagine. Yeah.
And a 900.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Seat. I didn't know there was going to be that many people in there.
That's definitely bigger than his current audience size.
Pretty sweet. We still got a bunch to get to. Back in a minute. Stay where you are.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Mark Morton with Chester Bennington. The Glorious Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We have a guest in our studio who has been in a whole bunch of stuff. I was looking at the list of movies that he's made appearances in, TV shows and things like that. You've also seen him in The Last Mimsy.
Yes.
Sahara. And, you know, and Nick, didn't you mention the other day Galaxy Quest that you noticed he was
in
there?
That's right, yeah.
Galaxy Quest
and Almost Famous as well.
I have a clip that I'm going to play real quick from The Office.
I wish I could menstruate. If I could menstruate, I wouldn't have to deal with idiotic calendars anymore. I'd just be able to count down from my previous cycle. Plus, I'd be more in tune with the moon and the tides.
And there you go. Please welcome Rainn Wilson.
Oh, yes.
From The Office. Rainn,
yes.
How you doing, man?
That's the best introduction I've ever had.
Thank you.
When people now think of me, they think of menstruation. Thank you so much, you guys.
My pleasure. Well, I'm going to bring up another embarrassing thing. Well, maybe you don't consider it embarrassing, but I was reading a little bit of information.
Some of the
about
movies
you.
That I did?
No.
All fine works of art.
I didn't mention, what was it, my super ex-girlfriend.
Okay,
so
good.
We
all
skipped
right.
that part.
You know what, though?
No, it's not a bad movie.
You know, after the 76th time I've seen it on cable, it's you're good in it. You're
Thank
funny.
You.
In fact, they should have focused more in on the friend character because you were sort of the dicky womanizer.
Yeah.
And so it had its. It was Ivan Reitman, right?
It seemed to be
a good project.
It wasn't all stinky.
No. In fact, that was the movie poster.
It's not all stinky.
No, but what's your ex girlfriend?
What I was going to bring up was, you know, obviously in Rocker, you're playing drums, and that's I'm a drummer as well. So it's a cool instrument. But I saw that in high school you played bassoon, dude.
Uh huh.
Yeah. That last poor night. Son of a bitch.
It's a pussy magnet.
The bassoon is a pussy magnet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Meaning you hung out with a bunch of pussies?
Oh, hey. The double readers? Yeah. No. We're
you and the English horn crew are
I have... Together. Ooh, an English horn reference. I love it. No, I was... Oh, my God. I was every conceivable kind of geek, and then I graduated to drama geek.
Oh,
see,
really?
That's the top of the geek food chain. But
you're
I started, you know, just total nerd and then like band geek. So I was like, I played like clarinet and bassoon and I even played xylophone.
Jeez. Well, would I be correct in assuming that you were aware of your geekiness? And in other words, you were not the object of geek scorn. You were aware were.
But back then, back in the day, and we're talking like late 70s, like early mid 80s, like there wasn't a geek awareness out there.
Okay.
You just were a loser.
Yeah.
And you just got pummeled. And there weren't words for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Eskimos have 40 words for snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now we talk about geek, nerd,
dweeb,
like different kind of variations.
Spaz.
Back then, it was just like,
loser. You're dead. Meat. Yeah.
And you're right. In fact, the vitriol that was levied against you back then was probably more severe, because now there's a classification. People can be a little, he's just a nerd.
Yeah. And they're nerd. And we get it. And nerds run corporations. Right. And Beck is a rock star and a nerd.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Like, but back then, it was just bad.
The one thing he had going for you, at least the bassoon is one instrument that kind of looks like a bong. So,
there's a
level of coolness there, I guess.
I went to the screening last night, and then afterwards, Rain was gracious enough to do a Q&A for about a half an hour afterwards. And it was at that moment that I realized that you have reached sex symbol status. There were girls just fawning over this guy.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And when I brought that up, and I had asked you, at what point in your life did you become a sex symbol? And that's when you had said, when I started playing the bassoon.
That's right.
And there was another bassoonist there, too. And I gave him a warm, warm embrace.
Sure. Is there some sort of nod or like a Masonic handshake that you give?
Yes. I'm not going to even show you.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this, Casey, but when you said he was a stud, he kind of did a little quick pelvic thrust and adjusted himself in the seat.
I sat up a little taller. I rode a little higher in the saddle.
Well, you walked in wearing your glasses. Now you're not wearing them. Do you have the Drew Carey thing where you just wear them for the show, or do you really need them?
I do need them, but I don't know. They were bothering me.
Okay.
But thanks for asking.
I'm a huge fan of The Office, and so is my wife, and my wife loves you. And I guess it's probably, the funny guy ends up finishing first because, she thinks that you're adorable. And that I'm sure, I see a wedding ring on your finger, but I'm sure that that's helped you get ladies over the years.
He just said he was a bassoon player. What part didn't you hear?
I have been married for 13 years.
Okay.
Wow.
But theater geeks get ass.
Yeah.
Because the theater
No, but that's why I started acting, because I transferred to high schools and I auditioned for a play and I got the lead and I found out I was kind of funny and I could kind of ham around. I was always goofing off. I was the nerd who goofed off in class.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd get beat up, but the bullies would be like, "That was pretty funny." You rolled the giant globe down the aisle of the classroom. That was funny. But here you go. Poof, poof.
I know that existence. Yeah.
But then I auditioned for the play, and then all of a sudden, girls were like, "Hi."
Yeah. Isn't that? And Casey has said it many times. Is that the hottest and loosest women to be found are in the drama department?
Listen, cheerleaders and drama chicks.
Listen to me. Yes. Go to the drama department. Right. Because
Yeah.
Half of the men in the drama department are in the other persuasion. Anyway. Yes. A lot less competition.
The playing field is wide open.
There you go.
Well, Casey was giving us a word. He was the one that was available to go to the screening last night. But your character in this film, you end up naked for a good portion of the movie.
Naked.
While filming, were you wearing a flesh-toned
codpiece or something?
Yeah. No. However, I wasn't fully naked even in that scene. They gave me what they call a modesty pouch.
Oh.
I highly recommend this. It's like a little satchel with a drawstring, and it goes around your hoobly bits. I said last night at the screening, it's very similar to the little satchel in which I used to carry my Dungeons & Dragons dice.
Wow, I know that set.
Exactly what I'm talking. Yeah. It's a velvety little satchel. And so that was around there. And then, but yes, there was
was it, a deep velvet?
It was velvety. Okay. Velvety.
So I assume that the movements were then pleasurable.
So pleasurable. But my buttocks were definitely exposed. There's a lot of that in the movie, but it's pretty funny. But I'm starting a movement. I've been traveling around the cities. And by the way, listeners, you have no idea. This is the most beautiful radio studio I've ever been.
Thank you. This is
insane in here. I mean, there are tiny robots that serve them tea. It's so high tech.
Yeah. Show him. Does anybody have the control for the blinds?
Yeah, all right.
Show him.
Steve's got it.
Yeah, I got to bring those.
Look at this. He's thinking. Blinds close, and the blinds start to close.
Well, that one's going up right now. But yes,
the windows that go boom tint. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes.
Instead of having actual blinds, they tint up.
There's a restaurant in town that does that. It's called Paradigm, I think. And when you go into the restrooms, when you shut the door into the stall, the boom tint happens. And then nobody can see
what? Actually, that's what they're telling you. You're actually taking a dump in front of the entire city. It's okay. No one can see. No one can see. In fact, they're going to smear it on the walls. No one can see.
But this is the coolest radio station. But I want to say I've been traveling all around the country, promoting The Rocker, and it's great to be in the great city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia. By the way, people are so proud of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that. Tonight I'm going to Hotlanta.
Yeah.
But I think Philadelphia needs a new name, and I'm suggesting Funadelphia.
Funadelphia.
Yeah. Okay.
PH?
Can we start? Yes.
Thank you.
P-H-U-N.
Yeah.
Funadelphia. Yeah. But I've been going around the country, and, you know, my butt is very exposed, and people always want to ask me questions about my butt.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, but I'm starting a new word for butt, and I'm seeing if it can sweep the nation.
Let's try it, yeah.
Thigh caps.
Thigh caps.
Interesting.
I like that.
So, because they are the kind of mushroom caps at the top of your thighs, if you think about it, in a reverse kind of method.
Thigh caps. It almost sounds like Skycap, too. Yeah. So if you could do some sort of cross-promote with airlines.
Well, I guess try
that's
it out.
Hysterical.
Try
thigh
it out
caps.
In a sentence like Marissa has got some great thigh caps.
Yeah, I like that. And if you use it three times, I think it was either Goebbels or someone else said that if you use it, repeat it three times, it becomes the truth. It becomes a fact. So,
will you guys please start to try and introduce thigh caps into the popular vocabulary?
If only if we can get it into Straight Stuntin' Magazine.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Straight Stuntin' Magazine?
No, and I want to be.
It is the, it's for the African-American reader. You know, I will periodically purchase them myself. There's magazines like Smoove.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, but this one focuses in on large buttocks women.
I think Kelly yanked it, yeah.
Black Tail, I know.
Yes. But maybe there's some sort of tie-in with thigh caps for that, for another magazine. Yeah.
A special feature.
Now, in the movie, in Rocker, you do play drums, and I mentioned earlier, now you had played xylophone in band. Did you have to be taught? No, he also
and
said
xylophone.
He played.
He
said he played xylophone, which is a percussion instrument, and that's why I'm asking. Were you trained to play drums? Did you already know? Or
I really didn't know anything about drums at all. So they hired a drum coach right away. I got a drum set delivered to my garage, and this strange little drum coach came over, and he taught me, you know, the basics of like rock drumming. But then more importantly, and he really focused a lot with me on this, and we watched a lot of YouTube videos, like heavy metal drumming is a whole art form to itself. Very different than the drumming that happened before. You know, it's the stick tricks, you know, and pumping up the crowd and like gearing in with the band and putting on a little show back there. Remember they had the revolving stools and lowered in.
Tommy Lee had the thing where he was completely inverted at one point playing the drums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Def Leppard guy was lowered in from the ceiling with his one arm. You know, there was a lot of that kind of training. And then I had to learn the actual songs in the movie. So it was and I had a drum set even in my trailer. So when I wasn't shooting,
So all the time you're practicing, would you say you're a fairly serviceable drummer at this point?
I would say I'm a mediocre drummer.
Okay. Yeah. That's
perfectly,
not bad.
Perfectly mediocre.
Did you get bit by the bug? Do you want to play now
for
entertainment?
Yeah. I love it.
That's cool. Good for you.
It's great.
And in the movie, your character, in the beginning of the movie, you're playing with a band that is just about to get signed and, you know, make it to the big time. And right before they do that, they kick you out of the band. And something that I didn't notice was that Pete Best was in the movie. Somebody in the crowd had noticed that. I didn't personally
notice. Someone who experienced this firsthand.
Yeah. No, they thought that would be cool to have a cameo of Pete Best because in a certain way it kind of, you know, echoes his. He was the famous, you know, drummer of the Beatles that was kicked out right before Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
And so he does a little cameo in there. But it was really cool hanging out with him and interviewing him. I was a little nervous about it, but he's a good guy and great sense of humor. And
at this point, what are you going to do?
I think he's
there's no reclaiming it.
He gets residuals, I heard, from those early Beatles tracks, like Beatles on the BBC.
Really?
Those early recordings.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's fine, and he tours around, and good guy.
We were talking about you being at the Rock Honors
The
Who.
I interviewed The Who!
Oh, my God.
I interviewed Pete Townsend!
That must have been intimidating.
He put his hand on my shoulder at one point.
Wow.
It was so good.
Is he everything that you would want him to be? Because he is...
I'll tell you something. The guy is like 87. He could kick all your thigh caps.
Really?
He could do it.
Nice. Number two.
He could do it. And he's a little bit scary. He's intimidating. He's still got that like fire, that rock and roll fire.
That's still pissed off.
You do not want to piss him off because he will cold cock you.
Yeah, and Rain, I've talked to many people. Some in this building have had a chance to interview him. He is not an easy interview.
He's not easy.
He says what's on his mind. He's real straightforward about it. And sometimes he just didn't feel like talking. And that's tough when you get an interview like that.
Yeah.
How was he while you sat down with him?
I was like a nervous little schoolgirl, you know, doing like a paper report. I was a terrible interviewer. I interviewed other bands, and Dave Grohl and I were, you know, goofing off and flaming lips and, you know, had a lot of awesome interviews and it was really fun. But I was just like, how do you write your songs?
You turned into Chris Farley.
Totally.
That was awesome.
But he was fine. He was fine.
The difference between him and Dave Grohl, though, is Dave Grohl's you know, is a great musician, but he's like one of the guys. You know, he's somebody that you can chat with. Pete Townsend, you're talking to a legend at that point.
But you know what? At some point, Dave Grohl might cross into that territory because you just think of the collective amount of experiences that a Pete Townsend has had. And it's like, what is this interviewer going to bring to the table that I haven't heard before, you know?
I was reeling and I was doing some research on The Who, and this rock, I don't even know when it's airing.
Tomorrow night.
It's so great. This concert is fantastic, and I'm not saying that just because I did some interviews or whatever. Like, the concert itself was mind-blowing. Pearl Jam doing The Who was fantastic. I mean, I'm so-so on Pearl Jam, but they absolutely kicked thigh caps.
Wow.
They were so good. And but you think about Pete Townsend created the concept album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of create, first of all, first real rock band. They were the first guys really rocking out. They rocked way harder than the Beatles. And they were rocking out like in 67, 68.
Well, to me, some of the seminal footage of all time is that shot from Woodstock of Townsend doing the knee slide. And they were popular, but they weren't like the top of their game.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think at one time they, maybe it's Led Zeppelin now, I don't know, or maybe one of the newer bands, but they held the record for the loudest rock performance of all time.
I mean, they had such a punk edge so early on. I just have such a newfound respect for them.
I know it was a small role for you, but you had a part in Almost Famous. Did you get to make any rock connections through Cameron Crowe or through any of the work that you did on that movie?
Not so much. I had played a small part in Almost Famous. That was my first movie I ever did, and I got to see Cameron Crowe at the Rock Honors, and he's friends with Pearl Jam. But at that time, not so much. But this has been a great pleasure of doing The Rocker. Is like I've been interviewing different rock bands and stuff like that.
That's
and,
great.
And I'm a total geek when it comes to that. Like if I meet like George Clooney, I'm like, yeah, whatever, hi, whatever. But rock guys like really. Yeah, float my sky caps.
If you just happen to be, tuning in, it's Rainn Wilson, The Office, and his new movie is called The Rocker, which is going to be out in August. Now, going back to this VH1 thing, which is tomorrow night with The Who, don't you perform as, or at least show up as the pinball wizard with the giant boots and the whole deal?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I do. I show up as Elton John.
Were these the actual boots from the original Tommy movie?
No. They built ginormous boots for my feet.
Right. I think they auctioned those off for a charity, the original Pinball Wizard boots. Years ago.
Those things are like stilts. They're so tall. It's crazy.
I could see you with the glasses on and looking a little bit like Elton John if they did you up right.
I would love to play Elton in the story.
Yeah?
Really? Yes.
Of the Elton John story?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close.
You got the sky caps for
also,
it.
There you go. Yeah, he just used it for
and
it.
And I love male sky caps.
Yeah.
Sky caps. I said sky caps.
I did too. Now I planted that insidious bug in your mind.
I love that. Thigh caps. Sponsored by sky caps.
I just think you're an airport aficionado.
You mentioned a little bit ago that you're so on Pearl Jam, but you're from Seattle.
Yeah.
And were you in New York when that whole scene kind of came on? Did that you miss the bus on that?
Or? I missed it, man. I moved to New York in 86, and then that's right when the whole grunge was taking off, and then I kind of discovered Nirvana kind of, you know, when everyone else did, when Nevermind came out.
91,
And then I totally got into it then, I was not in Seattle at the time.
No, any opportunity to stage dive or crowd surf or anything like that in your past?
No, I got to see Nirvana in their last American concert. Yeah. That was pretty cool, but I was kind of huddled to the side. I wasn't doing the moshing.
Okay.
I was scared of moshing. I'm tender. I bruise easily.
Hey, since you're in Pennsylvania, are you going to go out to Scranton while you're here? Or
No way.
Honestly, I think, you know, even Steve Carell is so good in The Office, but
sucks.
I think there are other people that could pull off that character, but there is no way I could see anybody else playing Dwight Schrute. You have just commanded that character.
You're also an improvement on the. I mean, and Ricky Gervais produces both shows, obviously. But your realization of the character that was in the British version is an entirely different spin, which I think is better.
But here's the thing, guys. What you don't understand is I'm
probably the greatest actor alive.
I can tell.
So I don't know. You guys hadn't mentioned that in any of your plugs for me. And next time I come here.
Well, that's reason enough to see The Rocker.
If you could, yes, if you could mention how amazing I am as an actor.
That'll definitely be part of your introduction.
And how mediocre Steve Carell
is. We'll kiss your thigh caps on your way in.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jane Lynch, who we just had in studio last week, she's in The Rocker as
yes.
well. Jeff Garland, Christina Applegate looks amazing. I mean, the best I've ever seen her look.
Total. Mm-hmm. This is her first delightful MILF role. Mm-hmm. And I got to mash with Kelly Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? In the movie. Yeah, yeah. For realsies.
Did you grab her thigh caps?
No, but they're pert. Oh, they're surprisingly pert. Yeah. And
great. Did you make out with her in the movie?
Yeah, there was like some smooching, but it's not like full on like tonsil hockey thing.
Okay.
So
Does the wife get jealous of that, or is she cool with that?
I am paid. I'm like, honey. This is what I'm paid to do.
I get paid.
I'm an artist. The script calls for us to kiss and to embrace. And I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But I must immerse myself in this role for the art.
So I'm going to go rehearse real quick.
Yes.
All right. Well, Rain, we appreciate you taking some time to come by here.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Awesome. We love your thigh caps.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Thank you very much. It's Rain Wilson, gang. On the Preston and Steve Show, we have a break to take. We'll come back in a moment. Stay put. Back in a minute.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll begin with this. Automatic car features are supposed to make life easier for motorists, but they may be leaving some people without the know-how to do things the old-fashioned way. That's what happened to a driver in Utah who became trapped inside her own car.
A woman, she couldn't figure out how to get out?
She called police Friday afternoon needing help because her battery died and she was locked inside her car. When police arrived, they found the woman sitting in the car unable to get herself out. She couldn't hear the officer's instructions through the rolled-up windows, so she motioned to them to call her on her cell phone.
This is OnStar. We got a douchebag alert.
Once officers were...
Was that you, ma'am? Are you the douchebag who couldn't figure out how to get out of your own car?
Once officers were able to talk...
I see a flashing D here. It means you're a douchebag.
Once they were able to talk to the woman on her phone, they were able to tell her how to manually operate the side lock mechanism on the inside door panel to open the door and free herself.
There's a tragic side to the story. She ate her passenger.
She didn't realize. After the incident, that I'm just glad, the officer said, I'm glad she had a cell phone to call for help.
Yeah.
I'm running out of air.
In Middletown, Pennsylvania, a computerized spell checker run amok christened several Pennsylvania high school students with new and, in some cases, unflattering last names. A Middletown area high school's yearbook listed Max Zupanovich as Max Supernova, Kathy Carabao as Kathy Airbag, and Alessandra Ilpolito as Alexandra Impolite, just to name a few of the mistakes. They were found on only four of the yearbook's 176 pages, those that featured the band, chorus, and the student council.
That was no accident.
Taylor Publishing, which printed the book, said that his company takes responsibility for the errors and will provide free stickers printed with the correct names.
Well, why did mine spell check filthy whore?
I don't know. Just a bit of an accident. An 8-year-old Indian girl swallowed 30 magnets and steel balls from a toy last month, and her father says needed emergency surgery to save her from what doctors told him were 8 gunshot or stab-like holes in her intestine.
Did you see the x-ray?
I did, yeah. What happens is that the magnets and the ball will...
connect on each side of the flesh and bore a hole through the skin.
Yep, on opposite sides of the tissue. Haley Lentis said that she ingested the 10 magnets and 20 steel balls because they looked like candy. Haley's father, Jason, said he really doesn't understand how Haley could have consumed the parts because she gets A's and B's, and we taught her not to do stuff like this.
Yeah, but she's still a little idiot.
Jason says doctors told him Haley's lucky to be alive. She spent 2 weeks in the hospital.
Didn't they pull most of those toys off the shelves because of this?
A lot of them.
I don't know if they did this particular. It's not magnetics. We have these at home, too. He says that he and his wife were in the same room as Haley in their home when she consumed the items, and they didn't even realize it. He says they rushed Haley to the hospital 2 days later when she began experiencing pain so severe that she could barely stand
up. Wow.
The other thing to remember were the aquadots. That was one of the things, right. They recall because people were having acid trips on them. Keith Sorrell in England is living proof that a man can live on Mars. He's eaten nothing but chocolate bars for 17 years, Mars bars to be specific. Keith munches a dozen a day for his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He gets through more than 4,000 a year, even having Mars bars drinks mixed with vodka or rum when he goes to the pub.
He has no health problems?
No, not so far. He says, my love of Mars bars started at school with one or two between meals. I love that little squeaker. All my pocket money went on them, and one day I realized I couldn't go by without them, and now I can polish off easily 12 a day, more on the weekends. I'm totally addicted.
He's not eating any other food but?
Nothing. He says, when it's mealtime for other people, I normally eat two or three Mars, and I've always got a bar handy at work. A spokesman for Mars said, we encourage people to enjoy chocolate as part of a balanced diet. But this guy's retarded. No, they didn't say that part.
That'd be great if they issued that.
And then finally, we will finish with this one. A bird lover has taught an orphaned baby heron to fly by flapping his arms and pretending to try to take off. Gary Zammit came to the rescue after the gray heron's family was killed in a storm. He gave the heron, which he named Dude, flying lessons.
Dude, you gotta fly!
By running alongside, flapping his arms, and squawking. Dude copied his new surrogate dad and eventually took to the skies.
Corbett! That's him flapping his arms.
Corbett! Gary said that it was a bit like teaching a child to ride a bike. He said, I ended up getting really involved in running alongside, flapping my arms like an idiot.
Now, little dude, this is a worm, and this is how you eat it.
Eventually, he began half-flying at the height of around 3 feet, and he's gone from there, and now he'll soar around the buildings, go up to 70 feet until I call him back down. It's a wonderful sight.
Fly, my little friend.
Gary found Dude close to death under a storm-lashed nest in March and reared him on a diet of small fish.
I shall call you Dude.
And so he has taught him how to fly, and there you go. I'm going to end with the bizarre file right there. We'll be back in just a minute. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I want to play this piece of audio. Am I stupid finding this funny?
No.
It's funny.
No.
It's funny on two levels because it captures the things that can get in people's craws, the things that can drive people crazy. I've never been moved to call a complaint line. I've never been. I have too much going on in my life. I never complain about. You know, like I never call up a TV show or a station and go, I don't like that show or whatever. Why? But this guy gets this thing in his mind about the product Jimmy Dean sausages.
Yes.
And you got to hear the dejection in his voice.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you've got to appreciate what customer service reps have to go through.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, and I just got an email yesterday because I was talking about how great Comcast cable and their customer service is. I got an email from somebody who works there, and they said, you don't understand how bad it is. Like, somebody will sit there with a red and white wire and then call and say, what do I do with these? You know, like
when the jacks in the back are both red and white.
Yeah. So when you listen to this, you can really appreciate what some people have to put up
on the customer service side. But this is great. Yeah. This guy loves his Jimmy Dean sauce.
Loves it.
He's not a screamer or a yeller in this.
Just let it progress.
Just take a listen. Here we go.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your product. Your products are very delicious. Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore. You've got a 12-ounce roll, and you got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece, a woman that's a little plump Scotch girl, and a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work. And I'm not going to
pause for a second.
A couple dozen eggs.
Couple dozen eggs. 16-ounce thing of sausage and steak.
He mentions the steak coming up.
In other words, I think most people would say, all right, it kind of sucks. I'll get the second roll, though. I'll just get, you know. So, in other words, but he has it so precise. 16 ounces of sausage is just right.
That's right.
For the three guys over 200 pounds and the ladies.
And the plump wife and the 13-year-old.
And that works perfect. Why did they F it up?
Yeah. All
right. Your product, anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the North. I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage.
You know, that sage is just so exotic.
It's so and European. Maple syrup. Yeah. So Parisian.
It's for Southern people can't have to it. Eat with the breakfast, with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks.
And the T-bone steaks.
A dozen eggs.
Two dozen eggs.
Two dozen eggs, T-bone steaks, and, six, and sausage.
16 ounces of sausage. That's breakfast.
And I can't see going to a little 12-ounce package to feed 4, 5, 6 people. And I'm not going to buy 2 of those 12-ounce packages just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price.
Now, pause.
Now he's mad.
Isn't it conceivable that you could buy the 2 12-ounces and then put the remaining, measure out the 16, and then put the remaining in a piece of Tupperware?
Right. Mm-hmm. Easily. Or cook it all up and save some for later.
Save some for later.
That's all you have to do. But the best is when he thinks he's hung up the phone because he continues on.
I'd sure like a reply, and I'd sure like you to go back to your 16-ounce package on your regular sausage because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own damn sausage made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's not tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye. That little 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage is supposed to feed your brother and me and you 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the 2 girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sauce. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat, goddammit.
Man knows what he wants.
God, I love that. I love that. Some pussy roll sausage. God.
Save money. Save money. I want to eat, goddammit.
I got to hear that last part.
600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the 2 girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Someone needs to be beaten
over
reallocating the amount of sausage you
and
get.
The 2 girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat, goddammit.
You know the wife he's talking to is like the mom in Gilbert Grape?
Oh, yeah. God.
She's a little plump.
You know, a little plump.
I love that.
I have called the customer service lines before, for like fast food places. Yeah. I actually, one time I was in a drive thru and I was second in line, and it took me 15 minutes to get my food. So I was second in line, and it took me 15 minutes to get my food. And I called when I got home because I was like, "This is nonsense." But another time, I was literally.
Well, what was your response that you got when you called the customer line? Were they great?
Yeah. Because you know what? First of all, don't call. It's not. Whoever's answering the phone, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
So don't take it out on them. A lot of people will do that. As soon as they get an operator on the line, bam!
Goddammit.
They'll start yelling at that person. So if you treat them with a little respect, you'll get it back. Yeah. There was another time, and I'll say that I was at Popeye's Chicken. And again, I was second in line. And I was waiting. It was a good 5-10 minutes, and I'm just waiting before I'd even been waited on, right? So I'm sitting there, and I look at the number, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And I call it. I'll call the customer service line as I'm waiting in line.
The cashier say, sir, stop going bleep, bleep, bleep. You're scaring the other customers. And you want to eat, goddammit.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
The other customer.
Yeah.
But I was seriously on the phone with the customer service person for 10 minutes after I was already there for almost 10 minutes. Just sitting there. And
did they do anything? Did they say, well, send you a coupon? Well, we'll make this up to you somehow.
I just said, you need to send somebody out here to manage this place correctly because there's only 3 people in the whole store, and here I am talking to you. And
quickly for the Popeyes copter.
Casey, I've done it. I've done it as
There's
well.
There's trouble. It's store number 17.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
For a fast food joint, and Steve, they sent me coupons. I got, $50 worth of, I think it was Wendy's or KFC or something, but I called. It was the same exact thing. Horrible service. Waited forever. And I was like, you know what? They should know that, because I think the corporations want to know if their stores are performing poorly.
Well, I mean, but
and they sent me coupons.
In this case, the guy's like, he just, look, he, for so many years, he's had that product, that 16. 16 ounces.
Yeah.
You know, well, why are you effing with this stuff, man? I mean, now it's 12 and 12. What am I going to do with that additional meat?
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
It occurs to me that if they're eating that plus T-bone steaks and two dozen eggs,
right,
they might have just enough appetite to polish off those additional ounces of pork.
You know, it's not a stretch.
No, you already had your seven pieces of bacon.
I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, good morning. Rob, are you there? Nope, we lost Rob. Oh, Rob's dad is apparently exactly just like that. Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Nothing much. I want that as a ringtone.
I want to eat, goddammit?
Absolutely.
All right.
We'll see. That's a good idea, yeah.
We'll see if we can put that up on the website.
I'm trying to clean it up. The audio is not the best.
Here you go. Camp Out for Hunger. This is from Eyes Bled Clear. The Camp Out for Hunger theme this year, I want to eat, goddammit.
That should
be the slogan.
We'll put that on the instant replay.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Preston, why don't you try the need to eat pizza? The Jimmy Green guy sounds just like you.
He sounds like me.
He does.
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
A small 12-ounce pizza. Can't have that. You used to have a 16-ounce pizza.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, the need to eat pizza. I can't feed over 900 pounds of men.
Yeah, I've never been the hotlines and complain type person. I mean,
I just don't have the time or the will. I actively try to avoid, you know, this kind of a-hole situation. Look, what are they gonna care? Just to use a different product. If you don't like something, use something else.
Well, it's not if I don't like it, but if I didn't like that service, when I was waiting 15 minutes in a drive-thru when I was second in line, like, you know, I want to get home, goddammit, you know? Like, that's how I felt.
Goddammit.
And this was before cell phones, so I actually did take the time to get home.
And call.
And call that number, so.
I used, my friend used the movie Summer School as a reference, where the guy writes and complains and gets all the free stuff.
Yeah.
So in high school, he would just write to every company with a nice, confident letter, and then get free stuff all the time.
There was actually a book out that explained the merits of doing that, where you would just, you know, write to customer service departments, because that's really what they're there for. They're there to issue out coupons or whatever, unless your head blew off if you you ate one of their products. But otherwise, we'll make it up to you. We'll send you some new ones.
Yeah. Let me go to Karen. Hey, Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Karen?
I was just calling because I work in customer service, too. And people who call in and are really nasty, we will do everything we can not to help that person. But if they're nice, we will spend a half an hour just needing whatever they want. We'll give it to them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's true.
People who are calling in, just be nice. You can get whatever you want.
Yeah, it's true. If you call up bitching and raging, they're going to do everything they can to make it difficult for you.
Hey, listen, my wife and I went out to eat. What was that, last week? The kids were getting a little bit crazy. It's one of those BYO places, you know, right. So I had a bottle of wine, bought a nice bottle of wine, spent a whole $5 on it. And so the kids were going crazy towards the end of the meal. So we cut our meal short, and I had to help my wife carry the kids out to the car. So I left the bottle of wine on the table, which I was going to take home, all of my food and my coat and all this stuff, right? I got out to the car, get back. I was probably gone for a minute and a half. And they completely cleared the entire table. And it's, I didn't complain. But the waitresses had a big problem with this, and they felt really bad. They threw away my wine that I was going to take home, and they went and got the manager. And the manager came over, and he was really cool. And, you know, I just... What, man? What? I know. But so I wasn't going to complain, and I didn't complain, but the manager was so cool. And I guess because maybe I wasn't a big dick about things, he ended up giving me a gift certificate for the restaurant.
There you go.
And then,
boom. Yeah, exactly. So,
just be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's this guy.
Until it's time to not be nice.
Thank you, Dalton. I got a couple instant messages that want to hear it all the way through one more time. So,
all right.
You want to roll that again?
Sure, right. Why not?
Here we go.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your product. Your products are very delicious.
Very delicious.
I love that. Hold on.
Products are very delicious. Love them for many years.
If he were Irish, he would sound like...
very delicious. Yeah, Bob Geldof. I love your... Love your products. I've been eating them for over 30 years. It's wonderful. But just as you're talking 300 pounds of goddamn men every morning, some T-bone steaks or five dozen eggs or haggis.
wanted to let you know I would not be buying your products anymore. I'm now going to switch to Lynx and sausage patties.
The Texan buffet.
Oh, oh my God.
I live in Texas, Ireland.
All right, hold on. Let
me come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your product. Your products are very delicious. Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore. You got a 12-ounce roll, and you got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece. A woman that's a little plump, tough girl.
Because his perception is over there, Jimmy Dean Sausage, at the manufacturing plant, like somebody will snap at me, you can't feed the DeLucy boys on that kind of 12-ounce roll. They're big boys over there.
That's right.
A woman that's a little plump, Scotch girl, and a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work. And I'm not going to purchase your product anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16 ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the north. I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage is for southern people to eat with the breakfast with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks. And I can't see.
Could you imagine?
Fried egg, sausage, and T-bone steaks.
And T-bone steaks and eggs.
Yes,
for breakfast.
He's plural on the steaks, right?
Yes.
That's what he says.
T-bone steaks.
That's right.
A little 12 ounce package to feed four, five, six people. And I'm not going to buy two of those 12-ounce packages just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price. I'd sure like a reply, and I'd sure like you to go back to your 16-ounce package on your regular sausage, because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own damn sausage made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's not as tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye. Little 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage is supposed to be your brother and me and you, 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. You son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. Save money. Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat, goddamn it.
You know, that was the biggest thing to happen in that household in the past month. You hear Daddy D? He called up them Jimmy Dean boys.
I love that. I absolutely love that. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay there.
For 50-plus years, MMR has owned the Stones. And now, you can own the Stones with a free pair of tickets. Listen to Win Your Way In to see the Rolling Stones July 23rd in Philadelphia. Tune in at 8 a.m. when Preston and Steve reveal the winning Stone song of the day and the hour it will play. Listen for MMR to play it from a vinyl copy of Honk, their new greatest hits album. 25th caller picks up the record and two tickets to see the Rolling Stones. When we spin, you win. Only from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Oh,
all right. It's interesting you played that sound because I had a question. Do you get, when you donate sperm, is
that's
that
the sound you make?
Yeah. Right there.
Oh,
exactly.
Thank you, sir.
That's what I thought of when I said it. When you go and donate sperm, is that
through the drive-thru?
No. Is that used for procreation, or is
usually,
it?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
And milkshakes.
Well, no, I was curious if they use it for, you know, like testing or, you know, doing.
And furthermore, I got a question.
For smoothies, Preston.
Does your said sperm donation come with a resume?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, there's nothing on it, though, because it hasn't been born yet.
Wait, you have to fill out a bunch of information. I actually have friends who did it in college. And, yeah, you have to fill out a bunch of information. Like, they ask for a lot in your background because, you know, medical background as well as, like, you know, your schooling and stuff like that.
But but they specify your in most cases where a sperm bank, it's used for procreation. It's I assume they'd have to specify if it was being used for testing purposes.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, first of all, where do you go? I don't know where
Taco
you go.
Taco Bell?
No, I don't know where you go to donate.
The sexy melt.
Is it a sperm bank, I guess? I mean, I wasn't sure if they
There's
used it.
There's one in Marlton.
I wasn't sure if they specifically used it for, you know, like women can come and pick and choose if they want.
It's like a regular bank. Yeah. Sit down.
Or if they do that to, if they take those as samples for whatever kind of testing
right.
might
be
well,
done.
I don't know.
No, I did it. Good question.
You
I,
did
I,
it?
You did it?
And I got shot. They didn't use it.
Really?
Yeah. You had to go in.
Because you're in college for 7 years.
Yeah, I'm sure. You came in with it already taken care of.
I got it for you.
I got this in a cup here.
No. Wow.
I got a lid in the car. It's one of those Wawa cups.
I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, and they had a place out in a town called Vienna, which is about a half hour west of the city.
It's in my hand.
I drove all the way out there. You had to fill out the whole paperwork, Kathy, and, you know, education.
Was this in college?
No, this was a couple years after college. I was really poor. I wasn't making any money, and it's about $350 a pop.
That's what a lot of dudes
do it
for the loot. $350 a pop?
Every time, and you can go more than once as long as they approve you.
But are you kidding?
The reason that they didn't approve me is that they're looking for genetic background, and they had enough people who were 5'8", 5'9", with, you know, an Irish-Italian genetic makeup and, you know, brown hair, green eyes, that kind of thing. So if I were a 6'2" tall black man, they probably would have taken my junk.
Oddly enough, we had we have audio of that while you
really
were there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Okay, keep doing it. Yeah.
Oddly enough,
a big dick black.
We had that there.
Wait, okay, so if they did take it and you did get your $350, wouldn't you be thinking, like, oh my God, my kid's running around somewhere?
Yeah, that thought goes through your mind, but I think the more pressing issue is how am I going to pay the rent at the end of this month, and that's what you're worried about.
Let me ask you. When you sign this stuff, how are there waivers so that you, in no uncertain terms, surrender your rights to parental?
So no, you can track that information down.
Well, you can
because there's the case locally. You know.
Well, yeah. The reason I brought it up is there was a lawsuit. It says here in this story, it says a woman who promised a sperm donor he would not have to pay child support cannot renege on the deal. For a while there, it was looking like this dude was going to have to pay child support.
Right.
What?
He was a sperm donor, and the court initially held that he was liable for a child support up to $1,500 a month. For two kids.
Was he an anonymous donor, or did
obviously
he say
no?
Hey,
okay. No. This was consensual. Okay. You know, they had worked out a deal.
And obviously, women can go in and look for particular backgrounds, particular
they have a tasting,
particular physical makeup, that kind of thing. And the reason that I know this is that there was a story on 60 Minutes or some news magazine show where they tracked down these six or seven siblings, these people who had been sired by the same guy, and they had the same father, different mothers. So these people were genetically related to one another and have similar backgrounds. You know, they're all into, you know, piano, and they all are blonde and blue eyes and that kind of thing, and it's because of their father. And then all of these kids track down their dad, and they actually develop a little bit of relationship with the guy.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah. That's very weird.
It's cool that that I guess the mothers can go in and say, hey, I'm looking for somebody, you know, maybe a doctor or something like that. However, does it come with a picture? Because I could be smart as hell, but ugly as sin. So
I think, let me ask you, during your Nick, what they obviously describe, they have to genetically give an indication of what the child might end up looking like. And did they take a picture, or did they write down a description of you?
No. Well, maybe they wrote down a description. They did not take a picture of me, but it was all about my background, my parents' background, my education, and those kinds of general questions. But it was a pretty long interview process, and it was a pretty extensive one. You know, it was like 6 or 7 pages that you had to fill out. You
did
were
you
there.
Get paid?
No, because they didn't end up taking my batch.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So I
went,
$25.
I went through the whole thing, and
the baby batter.
Gas money.
Do you think I enjoyed that?
You're right about the ugly thing. That's funny, because, I mean, it'd be great if there was a question on there. Do you consider yourself ugly?
Well, you do have to give a physical description of yourself, but I know what you mean. You could be tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, and just butt-ass.
And five eyes.
Butt-ass ugly. That's true. Let me go to Lou. Hey, Lou, good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Lou?
Nothing. You guys are talking about, you know, throwing all the information to be a sperm donor. And, you actually do go to a sperm bank, because I actually planned on doing it in college with my roommate. Now, the best thing about it is, I mean, you get $50 every time you go, every time you make a donation. Now, the downfall is I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and they said that you have to have a year commitment to do this. You have to go, like, at least once a week.
For a year?
For a year, yeah.
Well, there are also...
I think I can cover that.
There are guidelines that you have to follow about time by yourself outside of the office. You're not allowed to...
Your donation has to be, you know, no older than 2 days.
Yep.
Like 4 days.
You don't make your donation on site. Yeah. You're allowed to bring it in with you?
No. You have to do it on site, but you can't give a donation by yourself, like at home.
Because guys are bringing in hollandaise sauce. Right.
But you can't have fun by yourself at home. Actually, you have to have strict guidelines as to, you know, all sexual activity. So you can't be sexually active because
you could perpetuate disease.
Well, and the not just that, Steve, but the amount of sperm that are donated when you go in.
It needs to be good stuff because if it's less than a day old, it's not good. Or if it's more than 4 days old, it's no good.
What, they can't use sperm helper?
Right.
No. Yeah. But you have to give as much as you can give when you're getting in the office. So if you've had sex the day before or been by yourself within the last couple of days, they won't allow you to do that.
I had no idea.
And by the way,
strict.
$50, dude, you're getting ripped off. Down in Virginia, it's $350. So
what?
Yeah. His just to go in and do it, he said, was $50.
Oh, it's $50 every time.
$50
every time. And like, we, like me and my roommate figured out, you could go like three times a week. Like that's $150 a week. I mean, I'm usually just flushing it down the toilet. I mean,
how much? Let me ask you, how much? Can you work up a situation where you could conceivably go every day?
No, not every day, because like I'm saying, the donation has to be, you know, older than like a day.
I gotta go to work. Dude, your hands are all calloused. What are you, a construction worker? No.
$200 a month, that's not too bad.
The fact that this dude got nailed for child support, because I would assume that they would go to great lengths, make sure that I'm not beholding to any financial
things like that, cases like that are starting to pop up.
Sure.
Like they're starting to track you down and say, even though you were anonymous, have nothing to do with me.
This is your biological child.
Yep, exactly. You are the father and you need to kick it up. Let me go to Stacy. Hi there, Stacy.
Hey, that's Rob.
Yeah. What's up, Stace?
I just saw, I don't know, it was like a month ago on 60 Minutes or one of those shows where there's websites now actually where they hook up the mothers, the parents of these like sperm donor kids with the actual fathers. Like they go by the file number, like, oh, was your donor Q345? And you can actually find, they're finding siblings. So if you donated like, you know, 50 times over a year, you might actually have, you know, not just one kid, but you might have 10 kids. So these 10 kids are all now finding each other and then tracking down the dads.
They meet the dad. I'm sure it's like, you got to be honest with you, I'm not an astronaut.
It's crazy. And one of them was a doctor. He was like a young, hot bachelor doctor, and everyone was like dying to meet him. And, you know, of course they want to have nothing to do with the kids, but they're like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Because they needed money in college.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't want a kid.
But I'm thrilled to find out I have a family of 11 children.
Right. Man,
I'm 25, and this is awesome.
Casey was telling me that our friend Dave McGrogan was a regular sperm donor.
Really?
He's on the line. Yeah, how do you know this?
Because there's a company now that it's all his sons. It's called HireLittlePeople.com.
Shut up.
Casey, what the hell's wrong with you?
He just hung up.
No, he didn't.
Dave, are you there?
Yes. That's the one I met. The reason he knows is because he was holding the cup.
Now, we had a guy calling earlier, Dave, that said he had to go once a week for a year. Were you on that program?
We were all in chiropractic school, and there was about seven of us that went in for the initial interview. And believe it or not, at the end of it, only about one of us was accepted. Now, I actually withdraw. I pulled out of the program.
Yes. Prematurely, and you were penalized.
But you knew the one guy that got chosen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. The one guy's sperm wouldn't freeze right.
Right,
so
right.
He was rejected. But, yeah, another guy did it. And he ended up making about $1,200 a month.
$1,200 a month.
Yeah. I just like 50 Atlanta, kids.
So. I have to ask you something. That is tartar sauce at Kildare's, isn't it? No. Would there be a maximum amount of donations one could do in a month?
Yeah, it was between 3 and 4 a month, at least the place that we went to, and it was very true about pleasuring yourself. And the big dilemma I had was, one, what if I met, you know, what if I was a 40-year-old bar owner one day and I met a really hot 20-year-old?
Right.
And, you know, and she sort of looked like me.
Oh, good point, man. That's a valid fear, because if you're talking about many women using your batch, as Nick put it, you could conceive.
Oh, that's horrible.
I mean, I'm happily married now, but based on my previous record, the statistical odds.
Yeah.
What about the guy that was chosen? Is he like a big stud or anything like that? Or why did he get chosen over everybody else?
He was more or less committed to the program because they did kick people out when they weren't donating good sperm, which meant they knew you were taking care of yourself.
Okay.
You know, think about it as a guy. You're a 22-year-old guy, and how are you going to say no to yourself when you're a 22-year-old guy?
Well, you think of up to that point, all the money that slipped through your fingers is just insane. Yeah. It's like I've been wasting so much money.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and we were a bunch of chiropractic students. A lot of these guys were into natural health. They had good bodies, you know what I mean? They were pretty healthy guys. And, yeah, so, I mean,
I could have been a millionaire off of one towel in my house.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Dave.
Good to talk to you. When you donate blood, it's only like $5, right?
I've never been paid for blood.
No, you donate it.
Sometimes they donate or sell.
I think it's plasma that you used to be able to sell.
Yeah, you used to be able to sell blood, right?
I got $20 and a plate of cookies, but I did that for a specific person.
Okay.
And his sister gave me $20 and a plate of cookies just for donating blood.
His sister out of her own pocket?
Yeah, well, it was an older guy, and I was in college, and he had a...
You can put your pants on now, Sean.
Let me go to David real quick. Hey, David, how you doing, man?
Hey, you guys rock.
Yeah. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, I was I'm 6'4", blonde hair, blue eyes, varsity soccer.
Wow.
And in college they had me fill out, it was like 30 pages, this interview. They're asking me about where I was from and all that and everything, and they said I was a good candidate, but at the bottom they said, if you want to leave a comment. And all I put was, you got nutted, bitch.
He just got nutted, bitch.
He just got nutted.
Now, if you're...
By the way, being sworn in today.
Yeah. If you're a woman, can't you donate your eggs for several $1,000s?
I think you can. Wait, hold on. I just found this site.
That has got to be a wild... I would assume, but then again, I thought the sperm donation thing was a lot more elaborate as far as your liability. You would only assume that donating eggs had to be an incredibly complex procedure.
Well, yeah, you can do it. You can donate eggs. It doesn't say how much you get paid.
You get a lot.
Thousands. A lot more than donating sperm.
Well, it's because, and I just found this out this weekend because it was, we went to New York and I went to the Bodies.
World?
The Body Works exhibit. And there was a thing about the reproductive system that I didn't know that women are born with you're born with the amount of eggs you're going to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, finite amount.
That's all there is to it.
And so, you can keep regenerating sperm until you're like 70. You can keep making it.
Yep, exactly. So I would imagine
Doritos.
That it's going to cost a whole hell of a lot more. And this is a little late, but I had to add this.
Mayor!
That's for you, Mr. Nutter. Yeah.
You just got nutted, bitch!
Let me see here. I want to go to... Ooh, this is interesting. Let me go to Heather. Hi there, Heather. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm actually a physician, and I have a relative who just went through this a couple years ago with the whole sperm donor issue. And it was interesting. As a physician, I learned a lot of stuff. There's a place in Virginia where you can get a catalog if you're into getting the sperm donor thing. And you can go through the catalog, and there's different grades of sperm you can get.
God, I remember being a kid. I remember being a kid going through my sperm donor catalog.
Circling everything.
Yeah. So what all can you get in this catalog?
Well, you can have the bottom, you know, the bottom level is blue collar type worker person, and you can get some basic genetic background on the patient, on the person. Then the next level would be maybe a college graduate with, again, the same genetic information. The highest level that you could pay for, which obviously is a little more expensive, is the doctor, the PhD, the lawyer, who you can even get a picture of them as children. So you can see what your child may or may not
that
look
is
like.
Wild.
And you can match that child with, say, your spouse.
But not a photo of them as an adult?
No. It was only a photo of them up until maybe they were like 8, seven, something of that.
Then there's the Clint Howard bin. Which, three samples.
Hey, Heather, let me ask you, on the questionnaire and all that, are one of the things that you find out about the person, because you were talking about college education and blue-collar workers and stuff like that, and there are people that don't have a college education but go on to become very successful. Is salary in it?
Well, I don't know so much what was the financial information wasn't salary, but you can find out what they're doing as of the time of the donation, what they were doing for a career.
Nick, do you remember filling out anything about money?
Well, I remember not having any money, so whatever that question was
that might have killed it too.
Yeah, but no, it was definitely education, and it was definitely a genetic background, and
if you went to Bucknell or not,
they asked that. Yeah, but no, they try to find out as much about you as they possibly can, so that the woman who wants your sperm can find out as much about you.
Here's more audio of Nick and his sperm donation.
Well, it was a pardon. It was a little painful.
The whole procedure.
Yeah.
Can I have that oven mitt back, son?
I was going to go to Renee here, but we just lost her. Let me go to Steve. Hey there, Steve. Good morning.
Mind if we dance with your baby?
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, my wife works in an office where they make them kind of deposits, and said the one time it was real funny that a guy brought in a mayonnaise jar filled with skin so soft.
Stop it.
the girls got a kick out of it. It was just a joke. Yeah.
You know what?
They're fooling around over there.
You've got to hear nothing but jokes and practical jokes all day long.
I'm sure that the nurses love all of those jokes. But you know what? They do provide you with spanking material. I mean, they'll give you porn. You know, you're in a room where
we actually did it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Steve.
Wait,
and Steve and Casey and me went. It was years ago. It was before you guys were on the show, and we were trying. It was kind of like a race. We wanted to see who had the highest sperm count. So we went to a clinic.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they put you in a room, and you got magazines, movies. You got the whole deal. I went the movie route.
I was watching
one porn movie, but I was thinking about another one while I was watching
Sanford and Son.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Casey, you won?
I won.
No, I did.
No, I won.
I thought I had the highest.
Oh, Casey won. Yeah. Casey
really?
Won.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what I put on.
All red fox.
My God.
Oh, I meant this
thing. That is a very bizarre, very weird, because it is very clinical, and, you know, here is your material, and you want to try willing anuses by very high success rate, and all the gentlemen seem to appreciate what's contained within this particular film.
Is that the one you went with, Steve?
Yes, that was mine. I put on the subtitles.
Willing.
I bet you that's a real title.
It's just bizarre to have learned people handing you that sort of thing.
Oh, my God. You know what? We should take some calls. I know we're not going to be able to do it now, but people who do work in those clinics, if they could go... flip through the titles of what they have available in their selection.
We can just have another contest, flip through ourselves. What do you say?
Willing Anus is five. Oh, dear God.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Willie Anus.
From Good Times?
No.
No, that's John Amos.
That's John Amos. Who's Willie Ames?
Willie Ames is from Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge.
Oh, my God. I'm way...
What was I thinking of?
John Amos.
John Amos. Die Hard 2.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking black.
Oh, wow. My God. All right, well, hang on real quick, and then we've got to move on. Danielle had a comment. She's used a sperm donor. Hello there, Danielle.
Hello. Good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Danielle?
I used a sperm donor. I'm not a lesbian. I'm happily married. But my husband had some problems. And
sure.
One of the things you guys are talking about is, difficulty with running into siblings and stuff. There's regulations on that. Like, once there's
so many live births. I think the doctor told us it was 10. They like cut that sperm donor off, and he can't be used anymore.
It's like at the bar, they can't serve you anymore.
You're cut off.
Yeah, no. Your shot.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to get you a cab. You got to go home. You can't drive because your hands are sore anyway.
It's also very expensive. I mean, every time we went, like just for the stuff, it was like $400.
For you guys to spend.
Yeah, just on the stuff. That didn't count on the genetic material itself,
just the actual purchase is $400.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And then you have to pay to have them defrost it. And
if you want whipped cream.
Steve, you're right. Literally millions of dollars have slipped through my fingers over the years. Millions of dollars. That's unreal. Well, this was a little freaky. This guy was originally going to have to pay child support, even though the woman up front said, look, you will have no parental responsibility. Nothing at all. And then she all turned it around on him, said, nope, I want it. And he was paying like $1,200 a month.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but apparently in Harrisburg, they have overturned that to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
The court upheld the original agreement saying the guy is not beholden.
Yeah, so which is pretty weird. But I didn't know it was that, that involved. I had no idea about that. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh-cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're going to start with a truly strange story. I first saw the video of this online, and I thought, well, okay, that was kind of interesting. It was a robbery that was thwarted, but...
Thwarted?
Further investigation has found a bit of a wrinkle in this. Yes, it was thwarted. While a robbery at a pizza restaurant was in progress, a clerk discovered that her father was the robber.
No.
When another clerk struck the man, knocking him out cold and knocking off his wig and sunglasses. This happened on Friday
Daddy?
Night in Texas.
Wah, 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 wah.
Stephanie Martinez didn't know her parents and husband planned to rob the pizza patron where she works.
So no one on either side knew that this nope. it was just a happy coincidence.
Police said the other people knew.
Oh,
the people
okay.
who committed the robbery knew about it, but the girl who worked there did not know this was going
to
happen.
Police, I just wanted to see my little girl at work.
Police said they had no plans to file charges against Martinez. Her father was apprehended after witnesses followed the getaway pickup. Martinez's husband told him that she didn't know about the robbery. He said that she knew they were going to rob someplace, but she thought it was going to be a convenience store.
Have fun with your robbing tonight.
Right. And it turned out to be the place where she worked. And the video...
Did they think that she was complicit in the robbery?
No, they don't. Okay. They're not charging her. So you should see the video of it online. The guy walks in. He tries to rob it. There's another guy that works there. The dude just bum rushes him and pops him in the face, knocks him out cold, and you see the girl just standing there all confused. It's her dad laying there. It's a pretty messed up story.
You know how you wanted to meet my dad? Well, there he is.
A quote, vulnerable man cut off his own head with a chainsaw.
Wow.
After being ordered to move out of his home to make way for developers, police believe. This took place in England.
That'll show him.
David Fales' severed head was found.
Head on, applied directly to the forehead.
Was found beside the power tool inside his housing association flat shortly after receiving his eviction notice. Detectives were investigating the.
How about an angry phone call?
The possibility that the 58-year-old killed himself rather than leave his home of 8 years.
Probably should have sent an email.
He was the last resident living on an estate earmarked for demolition. It's understood police are not treating his death as suspicious. Now, the coroner...
It's just a standard cut his own head off with a chainsaw.
The coroner said the possible cause of death of Mr. Fayal is complete transaction of the neck and chainsaw wound to the neck. But they're investigating that a little bit further.
This is clearly the act of a stupid man.
Three bears at a Ukrainian zoo tore a man limb from limb after he fell into their enclosure.
I got the wishbone.
The 22-year-old man was drunk and trying to take close-up shots of the Siberian brown bears at Mykolaiv City Zoo.
It's not going to be good. Come on down. Come on down. Get in close. We'll get a good shot. I won't attack you.
He lost.
Jesus, do you believe this guy?
He lost his footing. The three bears.
Come on.
They charged the man.
Come on. Right around there. If you can crawl, if you can shimmy a little bit, you can get down. What do you think? Those signs are for kids. They're not for adults. Take a picture with your buddy bear pals. Come on.
The three bears.
Do it. Do it. Come on.
All right, I'll do it.
There's a good man.
The three bears charged the man immediately.
Just hanging with the bears.
Tearing him limb from limb as he tried to escape, according to the station.
Are bears known as liars? Elephants have great memories. You hear that all the time. Have you ever heard? Oh, bears, they lie a lot. Just doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. So come on now.
The man was dead before... Before keepers could separate the animals from their victim, the brown bear is highly territorial.
No kidding.
And a world.
That's all good.
And among the world's largest land carnivores.
Did they destroy the bears? Did it say?
It's Russia, dude.
Yeah, did they say?
They probably let him have the rest of the day off. I don't know.
We're heading home.
Listen to this.
See you tomorrow.
Hey. Morning, Ralph.
Morning, Ralph Lou. I'll call you.
Listen to this. A shark was found in a swimming pool at one of Sydney, Australia's most popular beaches on Friday, apparently swept into the pool by a freak wave.
That is so cool.
The one-meter shark turned up in a rock pool situated next to the open ocean at Cronulla Beach. Fisheries officers netted the shark and released it back into the sea unharmed shortly after members...
Was he at the swim-up bar?
After members of the public reported its presence in the pool on
Bloody
Friday
Mary,
morning.
Please.
It was quite calm, just swimming happily up and down at one end of the pool.
What kind of shark?
And I don't really know, but swimmers apparently come.
Was it a pool shark?
Yeah! Thank you! Good night!
Just ignore that one. Swimmers come in at 6 a.m. every morning to do laps, and it's still dark then, and they must not have even noticed that the shark was in the pool.
I'm surprised it could live in the chlorinated water.
Yeah.
And they said it was swept into the pool overnight by a large wave. And then finally, we'll do one more quick story. A Chinese farmer accidentally knocked himself out for 11 hours when he was supposed to be anesthetizing a deer. Lou used a strong animal anesthetic.
What are you doing over there, Lou?
Anesthetic to tranquilize the deer at his
farm. I'm tranquilizing a deer.
So he could harvest their antlers for Chinese medicine. And after administering a shot to one deer at his farm. I'm sorry. After administering a shot to one deer, Lou noticed anesthetic dripping from the needle and used his hand to wipe it dry.
Uh-oh.
By accident, he poked his skin with the needle and some of the anesthetic was absorbed into his body. Seconds later, Lou collapsed to the ground. His family and farm workers immediately...
All the livestock laughing.
...took him to the nearby hospital, which transferred him to the city's emergency center because doctors didn't know the composition of the anesthetic. After contacting the vets at the city zoo, the center gave Lou detoxification treatment and then kept him in intensive care for observation. He finally woke up 11 hours after the accidental shot.
What happened?
Doctors said the anesthetic was so strong it could have knocked out an elephant in less than a minute. So he was lucky to be alive, I think. And that is what I have for the...
I really knocked him out. Yeah. Didn't even complete his trumpeting.
That's what I have for the bizarre file they put back in a minute.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your
pocket, but it doesn't change. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
What's going on, Steve?
A shocking new book about Playboy patriarch Hugh Hefner called Hugh Hefner and the American Dream reveals that he had gay sex just to try it and once foursome with his brother, wife, and sister-in-law.
No.
What? But easily the most shocking revelation of all of this is that people had sex with Hef
even after seeing his face.
Oh my God.
Wait, hold on. Is that true?
That is true. That's what's coming up in the book.
Ew.
Paula Abdul and her boy JT, or boy toy, I should say, JT Toriani have called it quits, citing their hectic work schedules. Said Paula, quote, "It's not fair to JT to see him for a little bit here and there, especially when I have so much drinking to do." A trio of writers is suing Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, accusing them of stealing their idea for the show now called The Two Corys. According to the writers, they created the show 5 years ago when it was still being called Two Washed Up A-Holes Named Corey. And finally, Sylvester Stallone, and this is the truth, is set to become the first well-known Hollywood actor to star in a Bollywood movie, which is a film that's shot in India. From what we understand, Stallone will star in a variation of his beloved boxing character called Red Dot Rocky.
Oh.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, thank you very much.
I got a red dot on my head. That's
what it is.
Hey, look at that.
Hey, I saw...
Someone have a laser pointer?
I saw this, that this is really cool, and I assume it's a very big deal in the science community, but they have found ice on Mars. They found frozen water. This was confirmed. Yes.
Well, what else would the conquering aliens drink before they come here to kill us all?
NASA scientists. It was the first time that frozen water has been sampled on another planet.
Isn't that amazing? Because where there's water,
well,
there's life.
It's an essential ingredient for life. I don't know if it's 100% sure or not, but
oh, of course it is.
This is a lovely mix. 2001 and Ice Baby.
Yeah.
The probe that they have up there, you know, digging around.
And Melvin 1.
And it's actually called Phoenix.
Okay. I forgot the name.
It says, whilst the dice-sized chunks, which were dug up from the rocky soil and warmed in the sun, vanished 4 days after the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Phoenix probe dug them up June 15th, they confirm what NASA satellites have suggested for years, that frozen water exists several centimeters beneath Mars' surface. So they didn't have to dig down very far.
That's amazing. And if you look, they say at the surface... there are all sorts of areas that indicate riverbeds and valleys dug by water. And all the signs were there that at one time it was fairly flourishing with that.
So the possibility that we were all sort of spawned off of the Martians, you know, did you ever see Red Planet?
It's completely true.
Wow.
It's the one thing true. That a lot of people don't know is the aliens are trying to send us a message and we all dismissed it as just a movie.
Man. No, but...
Did I twist your melon on that one?
No, but I mean, that's essentially what they were saying at the end of Red Planet. Was like, all right, life is about to die on Mars, so they, boom, you know, shot out, you know, space eggs and landed them on Earth.
They had to use the same device we used to shoot T-shirts into the ground.
No, but along those lines, Casey, there are all kinds of theories about how life started on Earth, and one of them might be like, you know, a meteor or a comet part of it.
Or an alien meet and greet.
Particles had...
a mixer, if you will.
Landed on the planet and had whatever ingredients in it that created the first forming of you know, cells and things like that. But there is potential that as they continue to dig around Mars, that they come across some kind of, you know, fossilized microbe life.
It's quite possible. It's fascinating that they found the ice. Of course, for many years, people thought that the face that they believe they see on Mars, which is just sort of a raised area, but from the distance, they thought that was... perhaps signs of the civilization that exists. In fact, there was that Brian De Palma movie, Mission to Mars, with Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
You know, that said that was it. But
And there was something buried under it or something.
What it was. Mission to Mars, not Red Planet. Red Planet was that crappy one with Val Kilmer.
You were thinking of Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
That took place on Mars, too.
I kind of...
And that's why when the horse had a broken leg, it could still run.
Because of the gravity. Lower gravity. Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, I posed this question to somebody
Seabiscuit
over the weekend.
Seabiscuit in space.
And yes, I do have these types of conversations off the air, but what if Noah's Ark...
Oh, wait a minute.
What if Noah's Ark really did exist
and as it was an alien ship?
And it was just an alien ship?
I don't know.
Think about that one, dude.
I'm going to adopt that. Now I'm going to tell people that.
Oh, God.
I don't
Kathy,
know.
Listen, here we are, and Joe Rogan said it. Here we are, screaming through space.
I fell asleep during that interview.
Talking into a microphone that is broadcasting out through like several thousand mile radius here. Like, that is
amazing.
At least
a good 2,000 miles.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that we're having a conversation back and forth is amazing.
It's proof positive that the Ark came from space.
No. It's proof positive
so am I an alien?
That anything is possible.
Exactly.
Absolutely anything.
Right.
Hey, decaf coffee.
Yeah.
Who knew? How do they do that? And why is it more expensive when they take it out?
You know?
It is?
Yeah. There's your proof. No, I'm very intrigued. Do you get excited about this stuff?
I do. You know what? In fact, I told you one day I was just flipping through channels, and that show, The Universe,
is amazing.
Oh my God.
On the History Channel, right?
Yeah, I watched. The first one I saw was about the Big Bang, and it was like 2 hours long.
Yeah, you're watching the Ash Rushing Spice Channel, Preston.
I did not get up from watching that show. It was so some of that stuff, it's very interesting, but occasionally it gets so deep that you really have a hard time wrapping your mind around the enormity of things.
This show does a good job, though, of spoon-feeding imbeciles as ourselves.
They don't talk over your head. I mean, just the concepts alone of you know, the size of the universe, the origin of the universe, stuff like that. I after a while, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm in a fetal position on the couch. I'm so small. You know, it gets weird.
We're really good at watching shows like that. Yeah. Talking about shows like that is not one of our areas of expertise.
No, but it's such cool stuff. Yeah, that I do. When I hear, you know, I don't follow all these programs that NASA has, you know, really, really closely. But when they come up with something significant, it's pretty cool.
Well, you know what's phenomenal is on the HD channels now, they're doing things like from the space lab. They're able to show these high def images that are unlike anything you've ever seen before. So the amount of shows out that are on this order are just great. And that one you're talking about, President of the Universe, is just phenomenal.
Oh, it's amazing. They're saying that NASA suggests their satellites suggested about a quarter of Mars has ice beneath the surface, primarily at the polar regions.
Didn't they say that they found signs of hot sauce, too?
Did they?
Yeah, which would be amazing. That would suggest some sort of barbecue.
Yeah.
You would. Hey, listen, I mean, if you have water, then you can have a barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you.
I saw another study.
Water gives life. Life gives
water
barbecue.
Gives life. Life gives barbecues.
You know.
Noah's Ark came from Jupiter.
Mars. I mean, maybe Jupiter.
Hey, look, Mars has always been, I think, because of its location, has been the in science fiction, has always been the planet looked to be the most likely to have generated life.
It's the most Earth-like. And you're talking about
Jupiter?
No,
Mars. And then, because also there's a moon off of either Saturn or Jupiter. It might be Europa, I don't know.
Europa, yeah. In fact, in 2010, they hypothesized that that's where there's life on that moon.
Yeah,
of course, I know that people, you're right, Nick, people are blowing their brains out all over the air.
There are some moons like that they say are somewhat similar to Earth in the makeup, and that if there were any place to have potential to have life, it would be those.
Do you think during our lifetime there'll be a human on Mars?
Nope.
Really?
Actually, I think depending on how healthy we are. I think it's a potential. It's such a long trip, though.
Yeah,
it's a couple of years to get there, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what the most difficult thing is that they have getting past about?
Is holding it in until you get there. That's why the astronauts are like dancing around like, God.
No, it's.
Is there a closer? Is there a moon?
No, it's the.
God.
Wait, hold on.
What's that comet?
If you could have seen Steve jump around like he had to go to the bathroom.
No, it's.
Gotta go.
It's the exposure to cosmic radiation.
Yeah, because it will permeate eventually. Yep. So you got to use a lot of sunblock.
Yeah, that's it, or you are screwed. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think they can handle the fuel issues by refueling. You know, if they do stations on the moon or along the way, or some kind of a space station they can go to and get the fuel and continue on. A long amount of time in space can be deadly if you're exposed to too much radiation.
Now, the talk has also been about hibernation, like a suspended animation,
right?
You know, putting the astronauts basically to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would happen.
Oh,
but
wow. That would be scary.
Well, you ever show 2001? Have you ever seen
that? No.
You probably haven't.
It's more than 47 minutes long.
Yeah. Kathy, you would turn it off probably in about 20 minutes.
They take a trip to Jupiter and a number of the astronauts are in suspended animation. Planet of the Apes, they go into suspended animation.
Aliens. They're in suspended animation.
Yeah.
They wake them up, and so that's, I guess,
Seabiscuit. They're in
suspended animation. The jockey is. They just, and he's so small, they just put an ice cube on his head and he freezes. He just freezes right up. That's why we should send jockeys into space.
Why do I always miss these crucial details in these movies?
You miss it.
But I guess, and anyway, they have found that there is as evidence of
or not evidence, but they have actually found
water.
Ice
on
Mars.
So, I mean, that's like...
How long before we have a Rita's up there?
But that's like, that's pretty much as big as it gets as far as the news is concerned, right?
I think it's they've pretty been looking huge for... in the world of space exploration, yeah.
I mean, that's what they've been looking for, you know, now that all these probes, all these...
The cheese on the moon thing turned out to be a hoax.
That's a hoax? No, I mean, that's what they're looking for. They sent the Hubble out. Like, they're just looking for water because where there's water, there's life. And where there's life, there's barbecue.
That's right.
I love that there's
now barbecue. We all knew this.
But I'm right with you, Preston. I get very stoked on this stuff.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're taking the water.
I can relate more to that.
They're taking the water.
Here's our treaty on space exploration.
All right. Dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude.
I mean, we could not be dumber.
No, we'll see if they find more or not. We're going to take a break.
I need some water.
We'll come back in a
and
moment.
And barbecue.
It's at barbecue, Clyde.
We'll come back in just a moment. Stay where you are.